right, well, let's go to the Word of the Lord. I feel like the Lord has put this on my heart tonight. And I have a lot of typographical errors. I have a lot of things wrong in this sermon, I noticed, because I did not have an abundance of time. That the Lord sometimes doesn't give me time. Sometimes a 10-point book gives me more time than the Lord does. You know, they don't stand still long. So I want to go to the Word of the Lord, and I'm almost embarrassed to tell you I'm going back to Genesis, because I keep going back to Adam and Eve. And I'm a guy that likes to know who started it. Yeah, I want to know. I don't know. Yeah, you hit him, but who started it? That's what I want to know. Genesis 2 and 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden. He placed him there. Why? To dress it and to keep it. But we read in chapter 3, verse 7, things have changed. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. I want to talk to you for a little while about a stitched-up life. A stitched-up life. Lord, I come before you tonight. I know that everybody's got patches somewhere in their life. We've got things that we've tried to put together and make them work when they really didn't really work. But Lord, we ask you, Lord, to help us to understand your part in this. And the God that you are, you're not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance in Jesus' name. Work on us tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. I thank all of you for the comments on the sermon Sunday. Time did not permit me to bring to you many of the points I wanted to bring out in that lesson. I think perhaps one of the most important things you need to remember is I can't change the landmark. I have no authority to change the landmark. And when you look at the scripture I read, it said, he said, I beheld a man with a line in his hand. The man with the line is going to measure from the landmark. He can't change the landmark. He's just going to stretch it out. And that's what my purpose is for the church, is to define the pasture, right? To define it for you where that if you stay in there, I know you're safe. But when you get on that edge, it's like, you know, you're really, I don't know. It begins to make me wonder, you know, I don't know. But I know that if you'll stay in the pasture, the straight and the narrow, the Bible says it leads you. It leadeth. If you'll stay in it, it will bring you to eternal life. And I say, I can't broaden the way. See, God set a way here and by the landmarks, and I can't broaden that way. I can't do it. There's some things that I would wish was different, because I'd love to save everybody. And God does too. That's not that he doesn't. But he said, few be there that find it. That tells us something right there. We must search for it. You're not born in it. You're born in the Broadway. But he said, few be there that find it, meaning those that find it, search for it. And the reason that the Lord would not tell the world, he'd give a parable, and then he wouldn't tell them what it meant. And his disciples, though, they would say, come here. What did you mean by that? He says, not for them to know. Well, Lord, I thought he'd come to save them. He said, but it's for you to know. And the reason is because they weren't seeking him. They were. They were saying, Master, what do you mean by that? But the world did not. They were accusing him of things rather than saying, Lord, tell us what you mean by this. So this way must be sought. It doesn't fall into your lap. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. David was a man after God's own heart. You've got to search for the mind of Christ. Amen. So let us search the scriptures tonight. A stitched up life. I remember in the days when I was younger that if you had a hole in your pants, you didn't want to go to school. And many times my mom would buy us new blue jeans or whatever, my brother and I, and even church clothes. And they had, we'd run around the church, and when it wasn't dangerous, we'd run on the street sometimes. I don't know how we got away. Mom, what'd you let me do that for? So anyway, I survived. But many times we would fall and bust a hole right in those new blue jeans or those new pants. And she would say, she'd tell them, if you knock a hole, you go to school like that. Well, she would usually mend it somehow, you know, put a patch over it or stitch it together. But we live in a day today where they brag about those holes. I've never seen anything like it in all my life. They brag about those holes. You was poor. Yeah, they pay high dollar for them. I got somebody just drag them behind my truck and resell them to you. And they want them faded and all that kind of. We wanted ours just as blue as they could be. Things change, but God doesn't change. He doesn't change. And so there was kind of like, if you wanted to mend it, the Bible even says don't mend two different garments together, a new one and an old one. He said, because both of them will go bad. And so when you try to fix something, you can either put a patch over it, and sometimes in life that's what we try to do, but many times we try to stitch it together. We try to bring it together, and we try to make our life come together. This got a gap in my life, and I'm missing something in my life. So sometimes we try to bring the gap together, and sometimes you'll put a piece in there that wasn't really there, but you put it in there because this hole that's in your life, and you're trying to stitch these things together. Now, when God made Adam, he was perfect. How do I know that? Because he said he made him in his image, and God is perfect. So he made Adam in his own image. However, out of Adam, he took a part of Adam, and he made a whole woman out of part of a man. Okay? But this whole woman was actually weaker than the man he took him out of. Or was he? Or was she? Because it was this weak woman that brought down this strong man. The Bible says that she did eat and gave unto her husband. He did eat also. Him knowing what was going to happen brought him completely down. Because she was deceived, and I've preached about that recently, but he wasn't. And so these two came together as one whole person. That's what the Bible says. These two shall be one. And they came together as one flesh. And so they did everything together. And I believe husband and wives ought to do everything together. Skin the deer together. Skin the squirrel. Sister Julie goes hunting with you quite often, doesn't she? If nothing else, she'll drop you off. Amen. But anyway, y'all know what I mean. We work together on things. And so with the two of us together, Bible lets us know that one alone is not good. He looked at Adam and said, it's not good that he be alone. And so he gave him a helpmeet. And they did everything right together, and they did everything wrong together. They did everything together. They both ate of the good fruit together, and they both ate of the forbidden fruit together. And both of their eyes was opened, and they both saw their nakedness, and they both sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons that they might hide together. They were doing everything together. They'll get kicked out of the garden together. And so they've gone from being one to now surviving on their own. Each of them, while they're together, they're trying to stitch their lives back together, because what's went wrong now will come between them. Because they covered themselves. These two shall be one. But now that something has come between them. Are you understanding? So now they're patching their lives up, and these stitches, they're trying to hide it from the Almighty God who knows everything. They hide together among the trees of the garden. And God had put Adam in the garden to dress it and to keep it. And now the garden is dressing him and keeping him. The very thing that he was supposed to dress and keep is now dressing and keeping him. That's what happens. Life gets reversed when you don't obey God. It gets perverted. Evil is just good perverted. That's what it is. And so we find now that they have a fake covering, a phony covering, as if God can't see through that. But they're covered each other. They covered up, and it was phony. Now, I don't think you would raise your hand, so I'll ask, does anybody like phony things? You like fake things? You like unreal things? Now, I'll be honest with you, y'all can do what you want to do. I don't read novels or anything. It ain't real. I don't want to read it. That's just me. I don't care. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying I just like real things. If it really happened, I'll read about it. But if it didn't happen, I don't want to read about it. Just me. And I'm kind of that way about being real people. You too. I won't be real people. I won't be phony people. I'll be real people. Every day is not whipped cream and sugar. Some days I just don't feel good. Just tell me that. Don't say I'm blessed and highly favored every day when you're not blessed and highly favored every day. So they're trying to hide behind these stitches and taking a piece of this and a piece of that, of this fig tree, and trying to sew it together and link it together and acting like nothing is wrong. Nothing's wrong. It's just another day like it was yesterday. But can I tell you that everything that is stitched together leaves a seam? It leaves a scar? And you can't hide that? It doesn't matter how good you ladies sew, and my wife is an excellent seamstress. I'm not. I can still find the seam. I don't care how good you sew, I can find that seam. It's going to show. And so many times, if we're not careful, we think we're going to put our lives together and act like nothing has ever happened. The two pieces come together, there's always a mar. There's always a place to mend it. And I want to teach you tonight about how to get rid of the scar. You say, well, Brother Baggett, that's just, you just don't know. I'm telling you, I want to teach you tonight how to get rid of that. Amen. Because somebody here tonight has sewn your life together with this. This one got a piece of your life, and this one got a piece of your life, and they got a piece of it. And you just tried somehow to put it all together and act happy. When inside, you're not. And so Adam, that day, on the day of stitching, he didn't show up. The Lord came to visit with him just as he did the day before. And he calls for him. And we don't read where he actually had to call for him before. He just kind of, I think they probably had a meeting place. I just kind of imagine we're going to meet over here by this tree this evening. That's where we're going to meet every day. And that day he wasn't there. He was late. Well, the truth is he wasn't coming. And so the Lord began to ask a question. The God that knows everything acted almost dumb and said, Adam, where are you? Somehow I believe the scripture says that he was hiding among the trees of the garden. He was trying to blend in, I imagine, with the fig trees. Why do I believe that? He had on fig leaves. And I imagine he was standing there like this. He's telling Eve, don't move. Don't move. You'll never know. We look just like a fig. He was camo when camo wasn't cool. He was trying to blend in with the rest of the world. But he wasn't made like the rest of the world. But he was hiding behind things and acting like everything was okay. And God looked at him. I'm just kind of embellishing it just a little bit. God looked at him standing there among the figs like this. He's thinking, he'll never know. No one will ever know. And he said, is that you? Adam, is that you? You ever knocked on the door and somebody said, who is it? You say, it's me. Who's me? And he's, Adam, is that you? Sure. You wasn't like that yesterday or the day before. Look at somebody and say, is that you? Is that really you? Or are you just acting? I need to meet the real you tonight. I want to preach to the real you tonight. All stitched up, he couldn't fool God. A stitched up life prevents you from being the real you. Because we stitch our lives up and try to act like nothing's wrong so we'll be accepted by the people that really care for you. The people that really care for you want to help the real you, not the phony you. And God really wanted to help them, but he's not going to help their phoniness. Adam and Eve finally came out of hiding and stood in front of the Creator in stitches. And here they are standing in front of a God that knows everything. And he said to Adam, why didn't you come out? Well, Lord, I was naked. Yeah, you was naked yesterday too. Who told you? Who have you been? Have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat of? You know, a lot of times the Lord walks you through knowing that you already did. He walks you through to see how honest you're going to be. And he said, well, Lord, the woman you gave me, gave to me. That's that double gift, right? The woman you gave to me, she gave to me. And I did it. It ain't my fault. He was blaming God for giving him the woman. And the woman said, well, don't blame me. The devil made me do it. And they're not wanting to take. This is what happens when you have a stitched up life. You blame everybody else for why you have these scars. Everybody else, this is what they did to me, and this is why this happened to me. And the Lord's just waiting for, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm but flesh, Lord. I messed up, Lord. Just the real you. The real you. That day, he didn't really come to kick them out of the garden. I just believe in my mind that they just said, Lord, we are sorry. We could you give us another chance? Our God, the Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. All he wanted was, I'm sorry. I won't do this again. Repentance is a coming clean and a turning around. Coming clean is not good enough. Turning around is what it takes. They stitched these fig leaves together, and to God it was a dead giveaway that something was wrong. And little did they know, while they were sewing these fig leaves together, they were withering just like them. Linking this together, piece after piece, and acting like nothing happened. And I wonder tonight who I'm talking to that you've pieced your life together with this, that, and the other, and failed to be the real you. Y'all don't want a phony pastor, do you? It's like my daddy told one man, I went someplace, and he said, when he gets there, I'm going to tell you, what you see is what you get. And he wasn't kidding. The Bible says that Adam hid his nakedness with leaves, and then he hid himself among the trees. He hid his nakedness with leaves. Then now I got to hide myself. He went beyond just hiding his nakedness to hiding himself behind the things he was supposed to keep. And now he's hiding behind him. And I wrote a little note here. It says, it doesn't matter if you fool me. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. It was God's desire, I believe, my brothers and sisters, to forgive them. And God had a way of removing the scars that sin brings. Do you know sin brings scars? For them, it was the wages of sin truly was death. And the gift that God had given them that day was eternal, could have been eternal life. In so many words, God said, I will forgive you. I will cover you, but I'm not covering your stitches. What God wanted to do that day was to recover them. Are you catching that? Just like he wants to do to you, he wants to recover you from the clutches of sin. But he's not going to cover your covering. Back in the day when we go to high school, you say, cover for me. Right? And when you wasn't really there, they'd say, Marshall, here. And I wasn't really there. And I didn't do that, but some of them did. I just know one answer for me. I have never had anybody cover for me. But that's what happened. But let me tell you, God's not going to cover for you. He's going to cover you. He's not going to cover for you. He's going to cover you. But he's not going to cover what you're covering up. You have to come clean with God. You have to take off what you put on, and then he's got something that he can put on that will wrap around you. That came from a sacrifice of blood, if you will, the animal. The fur, God's got a fur coat, and there you are in fig leaves. When if you just come, God said, I'm not putting my fur coat over your fig leaves. Now, you're going to go back to the way I made you, and that's what repentance does. Repentance brings you back to innocency. Repentance brings you back to the point where God said, I'm giving you a clean slate, just like the first day that I made man. I'm going to bring you back to that, but you're going to need a covering. And so we know this is a type of Christ, that he died to give us, to recover us from the clutches of sins. He said, I'll cover for the sin, but I'm not covering what you did. I'll cover what happened to you because of sin, but I'm not going to cover what you did to cover your sins. The Bible says that the charity covereth a multitude of sin, meaning it covers what you do, what sin did to you. I just want to tell somebody tonight that if you want what God has prepared for you, you have to take off what you've prepared for yourself. And the way you cover up. And all, see, God's got mercy. He's got grace. He's got love. He's got something to recover you from what's happened to you in life. And take off the things that you have stitched together that will never bring happiness and joy to your life. He says, let's take that off. And I will wrap this around you. God's got something to put over you, but he's not putting it over what you've done to hide what has happened. When we read Romans 13 and 11, if you want God to recover what you have lost, God will recover you so you can recover what you've lost. But he's not going to cover what you've covered. Take the covering off. You know what repentance is? It's getting real with God. You don't have to repent to me. You don't have to repent to man. You've got to repent to God. Romans 13 and 11 says this, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, meaning acting like nothing happened. What? What are you talking about? For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. What I'm trying to tell you, you don't have much time. It's God's got a plan of salvation. If that day in the garden, Brother Peter, I just believe they said, we are so sorry. That was their day of salvation. But rather than taking advantage, they just continued to blame his fault. And so, okay, the Lord said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. And he kicked them out of the garden, and he put a cherubim there with a flaming sword, lest Adam would go in and eat of the tree of life and live forever. But the Bible says he kept the way to the tree of life. And we have it tonight. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off. Let us put off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. This is what I'm trying to teach you tonight. Listen close. God's not putting light on you till you get the darkness out. Cast off the works of darkness. The lying, the deceit, the hiding, the acting like somebody else did this to you. It's deceiving yourself. And if you will take that off, he said, I will put the armor of light over you. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envying. Put ye on. But first, take ye off, and then put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then make no provision for the flesh. I've taught this last Sunday, I think. I talked about provision, being able to, you know where that leads to. Provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Ephesians put it this way as they come this evening. That ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. Now listen close. The former conversation of the old man does not want to talk about Christ and God and the goodness of God and the mercies of God. And the same mouth, curse we men. Bless we God, he said, that cannot come out of the same fountain. Bless we God and curse we men. He said, bitter and salt water, James said, don't come out of the same water, same fountain. putting off concerning the former conversation of that old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit. Put on that spirit, the newness of the spirit in your mind. Amen. That ye put on the new man. God's not going to put on the new man till you take off the old man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. Not a Pharisaical holiness as the Pharisees had. They acted holy, but inward he said, you're not. And then Colossians in closing said, but now ye also put off these things. Let me tell you something. God's not going to cover your anger. He'll cover what anger did. In other words, if you repent, he said, I can take care of that. But you've got to get rid of the anger. I'm not going to cover wrath. I don't cover for blasphemy. I don't cover for filthy communication out of your mouth in any form. I don't cover you for that. I cover what sin did to you. But if you want to hold on to these things, I don't cover for that. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, with his acts, with his thoughts, and with his ways, and have put on the new man, which is renewed, it's recovered in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Boy, we're going all the way back to the Adam. After the image of him that created him. God wants to bring you back to where you can be like that again. God will never cover what you try to hide. Is that you? Son, is that you? Your voice sounds like the voice of Jacob. Son, is that you? Come closer, my son. And as Jacob got closer, he said, son, are you my son, Esau? Is that you? A stitched up life. Come closer. The smell. Well, it smells like woods. It tastes like venison. It was stitched up venison. It was goat. Let me feel. Ooh. My son, that hairy neck, surely you are my son, Esau. Is that you? Yeah, Daddy. It's no. Come clean now. Come clean now. Take it off now. Because now you got to run. Now you got to run. You chip Esau out of his double blessing. And now you got to run. If you'd have just taken it off then, said Daddy. No, I'm Jacob. And Jacob lived a stitched up life for many years. A stitched up marriage. Married the wrong one. Didn't know it till the next day. Stitched up relationship with his brother. Finally got stitched up. But let me tell you something. There come a day that he finally met God naked again. There come a day he met God alone. He left everything on one side of the brook and he says, y'all stay here. I got to talk to God. I got to come clean. Tomorrow I'm meeting Esau, the man I've been running from. It's time. I got to come clean. I got to come clean. And he meets with God and there he wrestles with God that night. And God said, let me go. He said, no. Not tonight. Not tonight. I've got to be changed. When will your tonight come? How long do you want to live a stitched up life when you could just come clean with God? And that night, the Lord said, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. I am who they say I am. I'm a supplanter, I'm a trickster, and I'm everything they said I was. But I'm not letting you go until until you change me. And he said that night, your name will no longer be stitched up, no longer Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince with God, you have prevailed. Why don't you stand tonight? Tonight is somebody's night. I really believe it. If you want to walk out of here different, God's got a covering for you. He's not going to cover your anger, your sins, and your filthy mouth. He's not going to cover that. But if you'll give it to him, you understand? Give it to him, he'll take care of it. But he's not going to cover it. Tonight as they sang a song, I wish that anybody, everybody that wants to just make a recommitment with God, I wish you'd make your way up here and just tell God, make me true like you are. Make me holy like you are, God. Make me pure like you are. The Bible says that everything that comes down from God is first pure. And it is man that defiles it. Change me, God, from the vile creature that I am and into the image of your dear Son. Oh, God. The first real industry that started in the Bible was the sewing industry. Patching things up. And the first trade-in policy also occurred that day. Anybody ever traded anything in? If you went to work today, you traded something in. You traded your labor for some money. It's a trade-in. It's what life is. It's an exchange place. You exchanged tonight to come here to something else you could have done. But you said, no, I'm going to do this. And you exchanged that for this. God's been in the exchanging business since the very beginning. He told them, I'll exchange fig leaves for fur coats. See, that's what I like, Brother Fontenot, about God. His trade, you see, when I trade something in, I'm trying to get something better, you know, and I traded in what my old car, but I got to pay for it. It's going to cost me more. God says, my policy is not like that. I'll trade you ashes for beauty. I'll trade you the sorrows for that old garment you got, for the garment of praise. And that day, he said, I got a trade-in policy here. You give me fig leaves, I give you fur coat. And they said, no, thank you. The reason was, it wasn't because they enjoyed the fig leaves. Wasn't my fault. They never came to grips with it was them that did it. The Lord said, okay. I'm going to cover you anyway. But you're out there. Thorns and thistles and briars and hoe. I could have kept you here. God's mercies and grace has covered you when you didn't even need it. I mean, you didn't ask for it. You didn't deserve it. He's covered you anyway. But God's wanting to trade you the wages of sin for the gift of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? You work to go to hell. But God gives you a gift of eternal life. Why wouldn't you exchange it? Exchange it. Trade it in and get what God's got for you tonight. I hope I help somebody tonight. Be honest and A-L-L of your ways. All of your ways. Amen. Lord, I come before you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your mercies and your grace. I'm thankful for what you did for Adam and Eve, you will do for us through Jesus Christ. And you covered us, Lord, as you covered them with the blood of an animal that protected them until you would come. And Lord, through your grace and through your mercy, you shed your blood that you may eradicate that sin and take it away. But Lord, help us as human beings to admit our errors and our faults, Lord, that we are, our righteousness is as filthy rags before you. There is none that does good, no, not one. Lord, if we'd just be honest with you, the windows of heaven would open up for everybody here tonight. Amen. You're just waiting to find the real you. In the name of Jesus, bless us, Lord, as we go out of here tonight and bring us back Sunday morning in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.